The golden age of radio is on the air. Morehead State Public Radio presents classic old-time radio programs from radio's golden age, the 1930s through the 1950s. On this program of the Golden Age of Radio, an episode of the Lawless 20s, Melody Souvenirs featuring Don Gordon and the Imperial Quartet, and we'll also hear Miss Hattie starring Ethel Barrymore. Stay tuned for the Golden Age of Radio after today's news from NPR on WMKY at 90.3 FM. Welcome back to the Golden Age of Radio on WMKY at 90.3 FM. Later on today's show, Melody Souvenirs featuring Don Gordon and the Imperial Quartet, and we'll also hear about Miss Hattie starring Ethel Barrymore. Right now, here's an episode of The Lawless 20s and the Flood of Bootleg Gold, as WMKY presents the Golden Age of Radio.
The Lawless 20s. We bring you another in the regular weekly series of radio dramatizations of personalities and institutions that sprang out of the lawless 20s and combined to give that era its notoriety. The events depicted in this series are based upon actual files, but for obvious reasons, fictitious names and places have been substituted. We take you now to the waterfront headquarters of the harbor police of a large metropolitan city.
Well, Bob, what can I tell you about the harbor police that'll make interesting reading?
Well, there certainly must be half a dozen good yarns a day on an exciting beat like this.
Oh, that used to be the case, Bob. You know, those waters out yonder are where Dutch Eddie Harris and his mob operated.
Say, were you in the harbor police during those days, Captain?
I sure was. I was in command of one of the speediest little gunboats afloat. And even then, more often than not, it wasn't fast enough.
Gee, the bootlegger sure must have had fast boats.
Fast boats and good information, Bob. Only we didn't know that then. We just marked it down as bad luck every time one of Dutch Eddie's boats spotted us and made a run for it.
Say, it sounds to me that you selected the story we were talking about, Captain. How about it?
It's a fact, Bob. We didn't tumble to the fact that Dutch Eddie and his boys were being kept informed of our whereabouts until one night... Oh, now, wait a minute. I'm getting a little ahead of my story. You know who Dutch Eddie was, don't you?
Yes, but only in a general way, I'm afraid.
Eddie was one of the biggest rum runners in this area. He was operating on a big scale with a fleet of speedy boats. Now, we'd been under orders to get him for months. The breaks never seemed to come our way until one night... Well, Murray, tonight may be the night. You took every precaution to keep our movement secret?
Yes, sir. Even the wireless has been keyed off so that the rum runners can't cut in on our messages.
Does Sparks locate any messages going through? Anything that sounds like Dutch Eddie's land station?
Well, no. The only thing he has been picking up is something that sounds like too much moon. Too much moon.
Good.
Excuse me, sir, but does that mean something to you? I've been puzzling over it ever since Sparks reported it coming over, but
it means that our movements haven't been reported to Eddie's land operator. Not yet, anyhow. He slipped up this time.
You mean the one we've suspected of contacting the rum runners and
right.
Giving...
Right. If word had gone through that we were on the prowl out here tonight, the message would have been, too much copper, too much copper.
So that's how they...
Yes, what is it?
Radio Shack reporting, sir. Message from land station has been changed. Now reads, too much copper, too much copper.
I guess I spoke a little too soon. Thanks, Sparks. Murray... Order full speed ahead.
Aye, sir.
You better take your post at the forward gun. As soon as we sight Harris's boat, put one across her bow. If she fails to heave to, sink her.
Aye, sir.
Gun crews to stations. Prepare forward gun for action.
Motor launch off starboard side, running without lights. Put a shot across her bow, Lieutenant Murray.
Aye, sir. One across the bow. Fire!
They're making a run for it. Fire at will.
Aye, aye, sir. Fire at will.
Good work, men. A direct hit. They're sinking.
Forward gun. Cease firing.
Make ready to pick up survivors.
Aye, aye, sir. Cut your motors. Make ready to pick up survivors.
Who's that?
It's me, Murray.
Well, well, Lieutenant. So nice you could call.
Now, never mind the sarcasm, Eddie. I got your message that you wanted to see me. Now, you ought to know it's dangerous for me to come up here. I can't...
Yeah, huh? Well, take my word for it, copper. It would have been twice as dangerous for you not to come. All right, what happened last night?
Well, that was just one of those things, Eddie. I didn't know until...
I'm paying you to know. That little trip of yours cost me one of my best boats last night. Not to mention a couple of hundred cases of first-class stuff.
Well, we were sailing under sealed orders. I didn't find out that they had the tip about your boat until it was almost sailing time. Besides, I left a message
Look, Murray, I ain't paying you good dough to leave me messages. When you got something as important as that, you tell me. Yourself. You get it?
Okay, Eddie. If you say so.
I just said so, didn't I? Timmy Nolan's kid brother didn't come up last night after the boat went down. And Timmy's almost crazy. All he wants is I should tell him who is responsible for getting us our wires crossed.
Now, wait a minute, Eddie. I wasn't responsible. You keep that crazy killer away from me. Why, that guy...
Yeah, he'd cut your throat. Feed you to the fishes. Sure. That's what I think, too. That's why we better not get our wires crossed again. See?
Sure. Sure, Eddie. I get it. It won't happen again. Lieutenant Murray speaking.
This is Captain McEwen, Murray. I want you to round up the crew and have them at the dock within an hour.
Yeah, but, Captain, they just came off duty. They're not due back on until tomorrow night.
I know all that. Round them up. This is a special job, and I want to handle it myself. We just got word that Dutch Eddie's fleet is getting set to load up, and Eddie is riding one of the boats himself.
Dutch Eddie on one of the boats? Why, that's...
I know. It's one of the best breaks we've had yet. I'll get the men together, and don't forget, not a word of this to anyone.
Right, Captain. See you at the pier.
Get there as soon as you can.
I'd better warn Dutch Eddie. He's walking right into a trap. Or should I? If he got killed tonight, nobody would ever know that I'd been selling him information. And Timmy Nolan would never know who was the cause of his brother getting killed in that last raid.
Well, Murray, tonight may be the night. Dutch Eddie's out here on the pond someplace, and he doesn't know that we're after him.
How about that land station of his, Captain? Have they been in contact with him yet?
Sparks has picked up a couple of messages, but nothing to show that they're wise to our being out here.
Uh-huh.
They're evidently getting ready to land somewhere on the North Shore, because their land station keeps jabbering, north, no moon.
Boat running without lights off starboard quarter. 300 yards, sir.
Right. Order men of their stations, Murray. We're to take Dutch Eddie's boat without sinking, if possible.
Aye, aye, sir.
Forward gun crew, prepare to fire a warning shot. Fire! They're making a run for it, sir. Shall we sink them?
No, run them down.
You in the gray boat, heave to and submit the search. This is Harbor Police.
Come and get us! Fire!
They're hit! Ahoy! Stand by for boarding party.
Okay, copper. You got us.
Make ready a boarding party, Lieutenant.
Forward gun. Fire.
Lieutenant Murray, I ordered cease firing. Make ready to pick up survivors.
Make ready to pick up survivors. Life preservers on the starboard side.
Lieutenant Murray to the bridge.
Aye, aye, sir. Yes, sir?
You heard my orders, I think. I distinctly said that we were to take the boat without sinking
her. Well, I thought they were getting ready to rake us with the aft machine gun, sir, and I got excited.
You got excited and gave orders for a shell to be fired amidships that killed half the crew of that boat.
Yes, sir, but
But nothing. That shell may have destroyed the very purpose of this trip, to get Dutch Eddie Harris alive.
You mean he...
I mean that if Harris is dead, our chance of finding out who's been tipping him off is gone with him.
Then we may never know who it was.
All hands on board are dead, sir.
Well... I thought you'd never get here, copper.
Who are you? How did you get in here?
Keep your hand away from that pocket, sucker. I don't need much shoving around to squeeze this trigger and splash you all over the wall.
What do you want?
You don't know me, do you, chum?
No. Never saw you before in my life.
And my name's Timmy Nolan.
Huh?
That means something to you? Ah, so you recognize the name, huh?
Well, I've heard of you. What do you want with me? I never did anything to you, you know.
No? Called killing my kid brother, not doing nothing? On top of that, you as much as put the finger on my best pal, Eddie Harris.
Now, wait a minute, Nolan. You got me wrong. I never put the finger on Eddie. I didn't even know myself.
You're a liar, Murray, and you know it.
I'm not lying, Nolan. I've been on the level with you guys. I tipped Eddie off every time I knew we were on his trail. It was an accident about your
brother. What do you mean, accident? He's dead, ain't he?
Well, I gave Eddie the tip on that, Nolan. Honest, I did. He just got the message too late. By the time he put it over the wireless to the boat, well, it was too late. And they tried to outrun us and missed...
How about Eddie? He never would have took any stuff on board if he'd got the tip. You blasted him because you was afraid he'd blow the whistle.
Oh, no, you got me wrong, Nolan. I didn't know we were after Eddie. I would have warned him. We were buddies. I was in his corner. You know that.
All right, Nolan. That'll do it.
Captain, thank goodness you got here. Well, this hood was...
You're under arrest, Murray. It took a long time to catch up with you, and it took a lot to convince me, but...
Wait a minute, Captain. I was just stalling
Why,
this for the
long... Why, you lying rat. You haven't even got enough of what it takes to take medicine without crying.
You've been under suspicion for some time, Murray. Tonight clinched it. You almost fooled us when you failed to tip Harris off that we were after him. Then we got word that Nolan was out gunning for the man responsible for his brother's death. We decided to test you.
Then Eddie Harris didn't...
Nah. He never told me he was feeding him the tips. I was playing along with the tin badges over there.
Stool pigeon.
Yeah, and I loved it. It'll be a pleasure doing time. Just thinking of you up there getting fried.
Fried? Now, wait a minute, Captain. You can't...
I can't, eh? But I'm going to sure make a try at it. Take him away and book him for murder.
Boy, and was Lieutenant Murray executed for Harris's murder?
No, he wasn't. He did draw a long stretch in the penitentiary, though.
Yeah, but what could have persuaded a man like that to sell out to gangsters and racketeers?
They had so much money at their disposal, Bob, that they bought many a man's soul in those days. It later turned out that Eddie Harris was paying Murray as much for a tip as he ordinarily made in a year.
It's a wonder there was an honest man left.
Well, there were, Bob. The vast majority of the men wearing the uniform of the harbor police were as honest as the day is long. Murray, unfortunately, was one of the minority that sold out for the flood of gangster gold that flowed in the wake of the bootleg traffic.
Say, you've even given me a swell title for my article, The Flood of Bootleg Gold. Thanks a lot, Captain.
Drop by again, Bob. Maybe I can spin you some more tales about those days. Drop by any time.
Imperial Pure Cane Sugar presents Melody Souvenirs.
When you buy your sugar, you want to get pure cane. So just demand Imperial and you'll always get pure cane sugar. Always get pure cane.
Melody Souvenirs, the sweetest quarter hour on the air. Featuring in the musical spotlight, Don Gordon and his piano, the Imperial Quartet, and sparkling two piano harmonies. When New York's Cotton Club was in its heyday, it featured a show called Rhythmania, and it featured the song the Imperial Quartet now sings, Between the Devil and the Deep Blue Sea.
I don't want you, but I'd hate to lose you.
You've got me in between the devil and the deep blue sea.
I forgive you, cause I can't forget you.
You've got me in between
the devil and the deep blue sea. I ought to cross you off my list, but when you come knocking at my door, fate seems to give my heart a twist, and I come running back for more. I should hate you, but I guess I love you.
You've got me in between
the devil and the deep blue sea. I don't want you, but I hate to lose you. Yes, you've got me in between the devil and the deep blue sea. I forgive you, cause I can't forget you. Yes, you got me in between the devil and the deep blue sea. I should hate you, but I guess I love you. Yes, you got me in between the devil and the deep blue sea. You got me in between. between the devil and the deep blue sea. You've got me in between the devil and the deep blue sea.
To keep our country from being between the devil and the deep blue sea, Congress has authorized a million-man peacetime army. Imperial Pure Cane Sugar takes pleasure in paying tribute to our army of today and to the fine young men who are joining it every day.
He made the night a little brighter wherever he would go. The old lamplighter of long, long ago. His snowy hair was so much whiter beneath the candle glow. The old lamplighter of long, long ago.
You'd hear the patter of his feet as he came toddling down the street. His smile would hide a lonely heart, you see. If there were sweethearts in the park, he'd pass a lamp and leave it dark, remembering the days that used to be. For he recalls when dreams were new, he loved someone who loved him too, who walks with him alone in memory.
He made the night a little brighter wherever he would go. The old lamplighter of long, long ago.
If you folks are all ready for him, here is that man of music, Don Gordon and his piano. Step in here, Don, with a song.
Gladly, Norv. It's one of my favorite old-timers, Sweet Sue. Every star above knows the one I love, Sweet Sue. Just you. And the moon way up high knows the reason why, Sweet Sue, it's you. No one else, it seems, ever shared my dreams, and without you, dear, I don't know what I'd do. In this heart of mine, you live all the time, Sweet Sue, just you. Every star up above knows the one that I love, Sweet Sue, just you. And the moon way up high knows the reason why, Sweet Sue, it's you. No one else, it seems, ever shared my dreams, and without you, dear, I don't know what I'd do. In this heart of mine, you live all the time, Sweet Sue, just you.
Well, that's one of everybody's favorites, Don. And the adjective sweet in the title calls to mind my favorite subject,
which I hasten to reveal is Imperial Pure Cane Sugar.
You are so right, Don. And Imperial is mighty happy to remind all you folks that now, once again, that good old phrase, help yourself to the sugar, is in style. You don't have to stint yourself any longer on sugar for your coffee, sugar for your cereal, sugar for cakes, pies, cookies, and candies, sugar for preserving and canning. With sugar rationing over, you're free to buy sugar when and as you please. The question now is not how much sugar, but what kind. Answer that by insisting on Imperial sugar. The sugar you know is the finest of pure cane. It's a fact that Imperial sugar isn't always too plentiful as yet because of the first rush of buying and transportation difficulties. But very soon, all grocers should have plenty of Imperial sugar. Yes, help yourself to the sugar and help yourself to quality. Demand Imperial pure cane sugar in the original package and get what you ask for. It's always a pleasure for our Imperial Quartet to sing the hymns you want to hear. Your desires have guided them in this morning's choice. Heaven is my home.
I'm but a stranger here. Heaven is my home. Earth is a desert drear. Heaven is my home. Danger and sorrow stand round me on every hand. Heaven is my fatherland. Heaven is my home. What though the tempest rage, heaven is my home. Short is my pilgrimage.
Card or letter will register your hymn request. Be with us Wednesday morning at the same time when Imperial Pure Cane Sugar will again present Melody Souvenirs, the sweetest quarter hour on the air, with Don Gordon and his piano.
Is it a date for Wednesday?
Sparkling two piano harmonies and the Imperial Quartet.
When you buy your sugar, you want to get pure cane. So just demand Imperial and you'll always get pure cane sugar. Always get your
game. Norvell Slater speaking. This program originated in our Dallas studios. This is TQN, the Texas Quality Network.
You're listening to the Golden Age of Radio and Melody Souvenirs. We also heard an episode of The Lawless 20s. Stay tuned for more classic old-time radio from the 1930s through the 1950s. When the Golden Age of Radio continues, I'm Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY, and 90.3 FM. Welcome back to the Golden Age of Radio on WMKY at 90.3 FM. Ethel Barrymore stars in an episode of Miss Hattie as WMKY presents the Golden Age of Radio.
Ethel Barrymore as Miss Hattie, presented by the men and women of Aluminum Company of America. Today, the men and women of Alcoa are proud to bring you an important message from our government. As the tide of victory sweeps ever higher to engulf the heart of Germany, the necessity for the swift transportation of more and more munitions becomes a vital necessity. And paper, cardboard, cartons, in fact, anything made of wood pulp, becomes a must on the supply line. The tons of paper shipped overseas as wrappings for precious life-giving blood plasma, as cartons for aluminum tubes of penicillin, as covering for K-rations. Those tons of paper are a war casualty. Save every scrap of paper for victory. And now, Ethel Barrymore as Miss Hattie. It's a warm, bright morning, and Miss Hattie and her grandnephew, Teddy Thompson, are busily engaged in getting the garden back of her house ready for planting.
Teddy, we're going to do our planting down here, not up in the sky.
Gee.
What do you mean, gee?
Miss Hattie, there's a guy in town charges you a dime to see the moon through a telescope.
What about it?
Well, he just brings the moon a million miles closer. Now, with this hunk of glass, I eclipse the sun. Here, see for yourself.
Hmm.
You see, now it's nothing but a big black ball.
Teddy, you have the makings of an inventor. Too bad someone beat you to it.
Hmm? Beat me to what?
Sunglasses. They've been on the market a long time. Now, suppose you get back on the job. At this rate, our neighbors will be harvesting their victory gardens before I get mine planted.
Oh, don't you worry, Miss Hattie. We'll have a garden.
Well, show me, Colonel. Show me.
Oh, I'll show you, all right. We're going to have a bumper crop. As a matter of fact, we're... Oh, someone's coming. Uh-oh, that looks like...
Oh, that must be the repairman I telephoned for.
Him?
What do you mean, him?
Well, what you want to call him for? He's nothing but a... Oh, hello, Ike.
Working, I see. About time, too. Loafers, all you young fellas.
Oh, lay off, Ike.
Were you looking for me, Mr....
Pruny, ma'am. Ichabod Pruny. Morning and howdy. Got something to fix, have you?
Are you the man from the house repair service?
I'm it. Service with a capital S. Beats me the stuff fellas get away with using the war for an excuse. Me, now, the only thing I changed a mite is my prices. Can't blame a fellow, though, labor costing what it does.
Oh, you don't do the work yourself?
Sure I do. Closed corporation, that's me. One thing's well done, do them yourself, that's me. Now, ma'am, what wants doing here?
Well, the living room blinds keep falling down. They don't seem to fit as well as they should, and the storm windows will have to be taken down. You see, this house has been closed for a good many years.
Yeah, I know. The old Palmer place. It was when I came to this town, nigh on to 30 years ago. Long time. You buy it?
I'm Mrs. Palmer.
Miss Hattie?
That's right.
Well, now, proud to meet you, ma'am, and welcome home.
Thank you, Mr. Pruney.
You call me Ike. More neighborly like.
Well, Ike, suppose you tell me how much it'll cost.
Now, Miss Hattie, I can't rightly tell till I see how long it takes me to do the work. But you don't need to worry none. Fixed the way you are?
Fixed the way I am? What do you mean by that?
You don't have to pinch pennies, looks like.
You're not going to let your illusions influence your bill, I hope.
Not a mite, not a single mite.
Still, I'd really prefer...
No, ma'am, just don't give it another thought. We'll get along and we won't have to go to court either. Just you provide me with a stepladder and I'll get to work.
Well...
Times are going, man, and I'm a busy man.
Oh, very well, Ike. Come with me.
Yes, ma'am.
I'll be right back, Teddy.
Watch your step, Miss Hattie.
Quiet, young fella. Get on with your digging. You ain't getting paid for nothing.
I'm not getting paid at all. Miss Hattie's my aunt. So don't try any monkey shine.
Young squirts. Fresh as all get out. Begging your pardon, ma'am, seeing as how this one's your own kin.
Call it a day soon.
Gosh, Miss Hattie, what's that guy trying to do?
Fix the blinds, I hope.
Sounds more like he's gonna bust them. Oh, what a character. I wish you hadn't hired him.
Why not? Teddy, what have you been trying to hint at? What's wrong with Ike?
Oh, he's an old miser, that's what. He's got more money than he knows what to do with. And that dump he lives in. Now,
well, Teddy, Ike isn't getting any younger. That's when he wants to secure himself against want, when he can't work anymore.
Golly, what's the use of worrying so much about tomorrow if you can't have any fun today? I can't see any sense in that.
No, son, I don't suppose you can. That's part of being young.
Oh, gracious, gracious. Boy, if he ever lands in the sun with a wallet like that, he won't be able to count his dough for a year.
Oh, good heavens.
Gosh, Miss Hattie.
Hurry, Teddy. Let's get over to him.
Holy cat. He's gone clear through the window.
Ike, are you hurt?
Holy smokes.
Quick, Teddy, help me get him into the house.
Well, maybe we ought to let him be. Maybe we ought to get an ambulance or call a hospital.
No ambulance, no hospital.
No, Ike, of course not. Don't worry. Teddy, call the doctor.
Fine first aid job you did, Miss Hattie.
Thank you, Doctor.
And you're mighty lucky, Ike. This could have been a lot worse. Come now, cheer up, man. You're going to be all right.
I feel terrible. A million devils are poking red-hot pitchforks into my face.
I know. That window glass did a job on you all right, but a few days in bed...
Bed? I got no time for bed. Lying in bed costs money.
Now, see here, Ike. If you don't obey my orders, you're likely to lose something money can't buy back.
What's that?
Your health. You've lost a lot of blood. And your eye...
What about my eye?
It'll bear watching.
You mean there's a chance?
I mean you'll have to be careful. Now, what do you say I give you a lift home in my car?
And who's going to do for me once I get there, huh? Tell me that.
You mean there isn't anyone who...
No, sir, there ain't.
Well, then, perhaps you'd
and
better...
And I ain't going to no hospital either. I got no money for hospitals.
But Ike...
Doctor, I'll take care of Ike.
What?
He'll stay here. After all, he did get hurt in my house.
Miss Hattie, this is very nice of you, but...
Of course, the least I can do.
Well, Ike, what do you say?
Well, now, Miss Hattie, it's mighty neighborly of you. Of course, them rusted chains on them storm windows wasn't no fault of mine, and maybe I shouldn't have been asked to mess around with them. Still, I wasn't expecting you to go to no trouble making up to me.
I assure you, Ike, if I had thought for one moment that anything like this might happen, I wouldn't have allowed you to touch those windows.
Oh, I ain't accusing you of nothing, Miss Hattie. I guess when accidents gotta happen, they just happen.
Yes, well, I feel very badly about yours. And doing what I can to make things a bit easier for you will make me feel a lot better.
In that case, ma'am, if it'll ease your conscience some, I'll rest here a bit.
Ike, it seems to me that your attitude isn't very
That's
nice.
All right, Doctor. I'm sure Ike means well.
Sure, sure I do.
Then it's settled.
All right, then. I'll be getting along.
I'll see you to the door, Doctor.
Goodbye, Ike. Take it easy, and I'll see you tomorrow.
Thanks for what you've done, Doctor.
Well, goodbye, Miss Hattie. I hope your guest doesn't prove too much of a trial. Just remember, you asked for it.
Goodbye, Doctor. I'm sure everything will be all right.
Miss Hattie, you're not going to keep that old Ike here.
Yes, I am, Teddy, until he feels better.
Oh, Miss Hattie.
I take it you don't approve.
Approve? I think... Golly, Miss Hattie, you're making a big mistake.
Martha, Teddy must have been filling your ears with the same kind of nonsense he's been giving to me. Ike's a perfectly harmless. But Martha, he's not a troublemaker. He hasn't given me a moment's unnecessary bother. In fact... Why, Ike, just a minute, Martha. Ike, where are you going?
Home, ma'am.
Home?
I've did all the lying abed I aim to do.
Martha, please excuse me. I'll call you back later. Yes. Goodbye. Now, Ike, what is all this nonsense?
It ain't no nonsense, Miss Hattie. I got me some business to take care of, and I'm off to do so.
But when did you develop this business? When the doctor was here this morning?
I didn't have made up my mind. Now it is. So I'll be saying goodbye to you, ma'am.
Ike, please be sensible. You're still weak. The doctor only took the bandage off your eye this morning. If something should happen to you, I'd feel responsible.
Miss Hattie, you got no call to feel responsible for anything ain't happened already.
I know.
Goodbye, ma'am. I'm thanking you for what you tried to do to make up for what happened to me, and I'm taking myself off. I feel it's best under the circumstances.
What circumstances? Ike, come back here.
The circumstances that be, ma'am. And you'll be hearing about that soon enough.
I told you he was a character, Miss Hattie. Anyway, you should worry. You did your part. And if he's darn fool enough to walk out of a place like this before he has to, well, that's his hard luck.
Yes, I suppose so. Only
nothing. Good riddance, I say.
I just can't help worrying a little.
Well, Miss Hattie, why should you? He was all right when he left here, wasn't he?
Well, that was 2 days ago.
Well, so what? You don't think he's been doing any more diving out of windows, do you?
He said I'd hear from him, and I haven't.
Well, give the guy a chance. I bet a half a buck he shows up around here one fine morning with a bill for the work he nearly did.
Teddy, whatever happened in your young life to make you so,
hard-boiled?
Yes, I suppose that's the word.
Well, just living, Miss Hattie, just living. The fella gets around, you know.
Huh.
Still, if it'll make you feel any better, I can go around to Ike's place for you.
I was going to ask you to.
Okay.
To go with me.
Miss Hattie, what do you want to go to that dump for? I can do it.
Come along, Teddy. I like to see with my own eyes and hear with my own ears. But I'd be grateful for your company.
Oh, but look.
Answer the door, Teddy, please, while I get my coat.
Oh, sure.
Does Azaria Palmer live here?
Miss Hattie, someone's asking for you.
All right, Teddy. Yes?
Are you Mrs. Harriet Palmer?
Yes.
This is for you.
What?
Good day, madam.
But what in the world?
Well, what does it say, Miss Hattie? What's that paper?
Oh.
Miss Hattie, what's the matter?
I can't believe it. I just can't.
What? What can't you believe?
Teddy Ike suing me.
What?
For $25,000. He says his left eye is blind.
Continue our story of Miss Hattie in just a moment. The next time you start to throw last week's newspapers into the furnace, stop and think about a lad who might be bobbing up and down in a rubber boat on the broad reaches of the Pacific. Your boy, or perhaps the youngster down the block. He has only two flares left with which to signal his desperate plight to a passing plane or a distant ship. He might have had more if you had put out last week's newspapers and magazines where they could be collected and made into signal flares. Check with your local paper salvage committee and find out exactly when collections are made in your community. Because your pulp paper today may save a life tomorrow. And now back to Ethel Barrymore as Miss Hattie. Miss Hattie, escorted by her nephew Teddy, is on her way to Ike Pruney's house to look into that $25,000 lawsuit Ike's bringing against Miss Hattie.
Well, this is it. This is where the old buzzard lives. Miss Hattie, are you sure you want to talk to him?
I must, Teddy. Good afternoon, Ike. May we come in?
Miss Hattie, ma'am. There ain't nothing you got to come in for. Anything you got to say, my lawyer will be glad to listen to.
Before I talk to your lawyer, Ike, I'd like to talk to you.
It ain't going to do you no good. I've been permanently injured.
I can't see that.
It's me who can't see, Miss Hattie. Not out of this left eye.
But you were perfectly all right the day you left my house.
Was I? Can you prove it?
Well, you looked all right. You didn't say anything.
I ain't a talking man, ma'am. Leastwise, till I'm sure I got something to say.
Did the doctor tell you you were blind?
He don't have to tell me. I guess a man knows when he can see and when he can't.
But did he tell you so?
He didn't tell me I wasn't.
Ike, I don't believe you.
Of course you don't, ma'am. Didn't expect that you would. Seeing as how admitting it will cost you a little something.
A little something? $25,000, your idea of a little something?
For you? Miss Hattie, ma'am, don't make me laugh. My face still hurts.
In other words, you're telling me that just because you think...
Now, ma'am, don't put other words in my mouth. I say I got blinded working in your house and I want damages.
And I say you're not telling the truth.
The jury will decide that, ma'am, if you're willing to leave it to a jury. Of course, when I tell them how you treated me...
Have you any complaints on that score?
No, ma'am, you treated me just fine. Of course, that's only natural. Feeling guilty like you did. And smart, too. Trying to buy me off.
Holy cow.
Well, that's going to be your story, is it? I kept you in my house, fed you, paid your doctor's bills in an attempt to buy you off.
I'm thinking it'll listen good. Don't you, Miss Addie?
Ike, you're an out-and-out scoundrel.
No, I ain't. I just want what's coming to me.
Well, you have my word for it. I'm going to do my very best to see that you get it. Come along, Teddy. My business here is finished.
Goodbye, ma'am. If you change your mind about facing a jury, you can talk business with my lawyer.
Oh, the old double-crossing scheme of blind, is he? I wish I'd given him one in the eye. Hey, Miss Hattie, where are you heading for now?
Trouble, I think. We've got to find a way out of it. Fast. Doctor, can't you tell whether a person is blind or not?
No, Miss Hattie. A person may be suffering from traumatic hysteria, a blindness which usually passes with time, or he may be the victim of a ruptured optic nerve. In either case, there's no known test or mechanical device which will prove it beyond doubt. Now, Ike says he has no sight in his left eye. He may be lying, but I can't prove it scientifically.
I see.
So, what are you going to do, Miss Hattie?
Take the next step, I suppose.
See your lawyer?
Yes.
Well, he's going to have a tough case if he takes it.
And that's what the doctor said, eh?
Yes.
Miss Hattie, why don't we try to settle this thing out of court?
Settle it? Pay money to a fraud?
But if we can't prove he's a fraud...
We must prove it.
How?
I don't know.
Now, you see, let's be sensible. Ike Pruney is a poor old working man. Now, where do you think the jury's sympathy will be? I say settle the case out of court. It'll cost you less.
I won't do it.
That's your final decision?
Yes. If Ike Pruney were telling the truth, I'd be willing to compensate him in some measure for his misfortune. As it is, I refuse to allow the scoundrel to take advantage of me.
Very well, then, Miss Hattie. We'll go to trial. It's against my better judgment, but I'll do the best I can.
Order! Order! Proceed with your questioning, Counselor.
Ike, when did you first discover that your left eye was blind?
When the doctor took the bandage off.
Did you tell the doctor of your discovery?
No, sir.
Why not?
I don't know. Maybe because I was scared. Maybe because I kind of kept hoping that darkness would pass.
And it didn't pass?
No, sir, it didn't.
You left Miss Hattie's house several hours after you say you made your sad discovery. Why didn't you mention it to her?
Well, now, Miss Hattie'd been feeling mighty bad about what happened. I didn't want her feeling no worse till I knew for sure she had reason to.
I see. Consideration for Miss Hattie's feelings is what stopped you.
Yes, sir. She'd been mighty decent to me.
And this is how you repay her?
Right's right and wrong's wrong. I've been permanently hurt and she's responsible.
Isn't it possible that what happened to you was your own fault, that you were careless?
I object. There's been no such proof presented in this court.
Sustained.
All right. We'll try it this way. Have you ever been the victim of another accident?
I object. What might have happened to Ike in the course of his lifetime has nothing to do with this case.
Sustained.
Ike, have you ever sued anyone before for a physical injury?
I object. My client's past recourse to law has no bearing on this case.
Sustained.
Your Honor, I'm willing to answer that question. I ain't never been hurt before, and I ain't never sued no one before. All I want is my rights, and by gum, no smart alecky lawyer ain't gonna do me out of them. Not if he questions me from now till doomsday.
Order! Order!
Judge Peters, may I speak to you for a moment?
Certainly, Miss Hattie. Step up here, please.
Judge, I'd like to take over the questioning of this witness.
Well, you have that right, Miss Hattie. It's a little irregular. But if you have your lawyer's consent, you may do so. I'll call a recess until after lunch.
Thank you, Judge. I'll need a little time to prepare myself.
Very well. This court is recessed until 2 o'clock this afternoon.
It's nearly 1:30.
I know, Teddy.
What are you going to do?
How does that old saying go? A man who acts as his own lawyer has a fool for a client? I guess that's what I'm going to do. Make a fool of myself.
Gosh.
I don't know what possessed me to ask Judge Peters to let me take over. I suppose it's just that things look so bad.
Yeah.
Now they look worse.
Mm-hmm.
Teddy, do stop squinting through that piece of glass. There's no time to eclipse the sun. Things are dark enough.
Not for Ike, they're not.
No, not for Ike. Teddy.
Hmm?
Give me that piece of glass.
Oh, look, Miss Hattie, I was only trying to...
I want to look through it.
Oh, sure. Here it is.
Yeah.
It's fun, isn't it, how the sun gets black and everything changes color?
Yes.
I'm glad the world isn't really that color, though. I wouldn't like that.
Teddy.
Hmm?
Teddy, I think I've got it.
What?
The answer.
Well, Miss Hattie, where are you going?
To restore Ike's eyesight.
You may proceed, Miss Hattie.
Ike, on the morning you came to work for me, both your eyes were in perfect condition?
Yes, ma'am.
They had never before given you a moment's trouble?
Never.
You never had to visit an oculist?
No, ma'am.
Oh, wear glasses?
No, ma'am.
Isn't it almost normal for people past 40 to need reading glasses?
Maybe it is. I ain't never needed them.
Not even for distance?
Jupiter, ma'am, I could shoot a whisker off a cat 100 feet away.
And your right eye, the uninjured one, still retains such excellent vision?
Yes, ma'am, it sure does.
Ike, I'm going to ask you to prove that to the jury.
Huh?
I have no cats here in the courtroom, but I have this blackboard. I'm going to write a sentence on it. It's just about 20 feet away. There, now I want you to read it.
Ma'am, I'll be glad to oblige you.
Thank you. Now, Ike, please read what I've written.
The house on Tompkins Corners is for sale. Shove that board back a couple of more feet, and I'll still read anything you write.
I'll do something else, Ike. I'll ask you to put on this pair of glasses and read another sentence at the same distance.
What's the glasses for?
You'll notice the right lens is red glass. The other is clear. If your eyesight is as good as you claim, you ought not to have too much difficulty in reading through the colored glass.
Hand them over.
Here you are. Now...
Please read what I have written.
The sun shines alike on the just and the unjust.
Thank you, Ike. You have excellent sight. Indeed, you have.
You bet.
In both your eyes.
Your Honor, I object to all this.
Objection overruled. Miss Hattie, proceed.
Ike, you've just proven yourself an imposter and a fraud.
The heck I did. I read that sentence clear as you wrote it.
You certainly did, with your blind eye. Ike, take those glasses off. Now, what color chalk did I use to write the first sentence?
White.
And the second sentence?
Green.
Exactly. And the red lens over your right eye, your uninjured eye, the green writing on the blackboard, it caused it to disappear. Therefore, Ike, you must have read what I wrote with your blind eye.
Order! Order!
My God!
Think about Cooney. You know you've committed perjury.
Perjury?
Yes, you lied under oath.
I'll
have to turn the matter over to the district attorney. But perhaps he will be lenient and consider your being branded a fake in the eyes of your townsmen punishment enough. Case dismissed.
Hey, Miss Hattie. Boy, you are terrific.
Miss Hattie, allow me to congratulate you. You're a very clever woman.
Thank you, Judge. But with truth for a weapon, every fight is half won before you enter the ring.
Miss Hattie, starring Ethel Barrymore, is presented each week at this same time by the men and women of Aluminum Company of America. Be sure to listen next week, same time, same station, when you will again hear Ethel Barrymore as Miss Hattie, brought to you by the men and women of Alcoa Aluminum, the folks who really are Aluminum Company of America.
The Golden Age of Radio on WMKY and Ethel Barrymore starring on an episode of Miss Hattie. This has been the Golden Age of Radio. Classic old-time radio programs from the 1930s through the 1950s. Material for this program provided by the Internet Archive, an online nonprofit library of books, movies, music, and old-time radio shows. On the web at archive.org. Tune in again for the Golden Age of Radio next week at this same time and channel on WMKY at 90.3 FM and online at WMKY.org.